gavel, but we're going to call this meeting to order.
So we'll start out with
maybe mine's in the cart.
Introductions. We'll start out with this house staff, Mary Mullins, Janelle Taylor, Brad Hagemeyer, and John Waltz. Very capable people. I know that for a fact. And I've heard nothing but great things about yours. Greg Knopf is one of my favorite people of all time. Other than that, here we go.
In case you get unruly.
I only get unruly. Did I miss anybody else?
I better mention you.
Was that? Oh, yeah, I did. Dan Wheeler and Ben Stanley. And any other partisan or nonpartisan staff that can introduce themselves first, and they'll have the members introduce. Go ahead. Say who we are and what you do.
Rebecca Mead, Committee Legislative Assistant.
Jeremiah Wingstead, GOP House Research.
Callie Lehman, Committee Administrator.
Matt Elfritz, Committee Administrator.
John Cotter, Committee Legislative Assistant.
Gloria Gunville, Senate DFL Research.
Dave Frazier, SRC Researcher.
Well, good. Now the members can introduce themselves, starting with
Steve Green, House Representative 2B.
Dan Fabian, House Representative 1A.
Leon Lilly, 43B.
Bob Gunther, 23A.
Harry Rood, 10.
That's it. Senate was quick. With that, we will start by, we're going through the side-by-side today, and we'll start with staff who won the short straw and gets to start out.
I don't think we do straws yet, Mr. Kerr, but I can start if you'd like.
Please do that.
Sure.
I think spreadsheet?
We'll start with the spreadsheet for the members. I think you have a tab in your packet. I don't know if the tabs are numbered, but the tracking sheet, the spreadsheet. I think Mr. Mueller and myself will switch back and forth. Maybe I don't know what detail you'd like us to go in, Mr. Chair, but maybe just we can say the differences between the House and Senate, not all the projects that are the same.
I think that would be very appropriate.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if you on the spreadsheet on page 1, Outdoor Heritage Fund, you'll see on line 7, the WMA, SNA, and Natural Area Acquisition Phase 9, the House made a reduction there of $2,124,000. And on line 8, right below that, you'll see Accelerating Wildlife Management Area Acquisition Phase 9. The House reduced that appropriation by $2,124,000 as well. The total reduction the House made for the Prairies subdivision was $4,248,000. And the Senate just included the Ultra Heritage Council recommendations for that subdivision. Under the Forest subdivision, the House and Senate both carried the Ultra Heritage Council recommendations. On line 45 under the wetland subdivision, you'll see on line 46, the Shallow Lakes and Wetland Protection Phase 6 program. The House reduced that by $2,125,000. And the line right below that on Reinvest in Minnesota Wetlands Reserve Program Phase 8, the House increased that appropriation by $5 million. And the House, or the Senate for the wetland subdivision carried the Ultra Heritage Council recommendation. If you flip to the next page, I skipped one, Mr. Cherry. On the first page on line 32 under the forest, both the House and Senate added an amendment for $500,000 to the forest pest response. It's both in the House and Senate. It doesn't show up as a change, as a difference, but that was added to the Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations. If on the second page, you'll see all the appropriations are the same. If you go down to line 84, you'll see the Department of Natural Resources have the all three reductions were to them or grants through them. So $6,373,000 was reduced to DNR, and it was $5 million was increased to Board of Water and Soil Resources. The net effect of that was the House reduced the Outer Heritage Council recommendations by $1,373,000, which brought us to a 5% reserve. I don't know if Mr. Mueller has anything else to add for...
Mr. Chairman, I just will repeat that the Senate's, other than that Forest Pest Response $500,000 appropriation, the Senate's appropriations match exactly the Outer Heritage Fund's recommendations.
If you flip to page 3, Mr. Chair, it's started a Clean Water Fund, Article 2. Both the House and Senate made a number of changes in the Clean Water Fund article. The first change you'll see between the House and the Senate is on line 107. The House reduced the Ag Water Quality Certification Program by $2 million compared to the Senate. On line 109, the Perennial Cover Crop Research, Forever Green, the House is $600,000 less than the Senate. On line 111, the Vegetative Cover and Soil Health, you'll see the House has $150,000 for that appropriation. The Senate does not carry an appropriation for that program. In total, the House appropriated $14,966,000 to the Department of Agriculture, and the Senate appropriated $17,416,000. If you go down to line 114, it's the Public Facilities Authority. The House, on line 115, the Point Source Implementation Grants, the House is $850,000 less than the Senate on that appropriation. In total, the House appropriated $16,400,000 to PFA, and the Senate appropriated $17,250,000. If you go down to line 119, it's the start of the Pollution Control Agency. You'll see on line 122, the total maximum daily loads and water restoration and protection strategies. The House is $1,002,000 less than the Senate. On line 127, the Enhanced County Inspection SSTS Corrective Actions, the House is $362,000 less than the Senate. On line 128, the Stormwater Research Guidance and BMPs, the House is $7,000 more than the Senate. Line 129, the Voyageurs National Park Water Quality Protection Grant, the House does not carry an appropriation for this purpose, and the Senate does carry $2 million for it. On line 130, the St. Croix River Association Monitoring and Phosphorus Reduction, the House does not carry an appropriation, and the Senate has $400,000 for that purpose. In total, the House is appropriating $50,800,000 to the Pollution Control Agency, and the Senate is appropriating $54,557,000. On line 135, we start the Department of Natural Resources. On line 139, you'll see the Watershed Restoration and Protection Strategies for the DNR. The House is $108,000 less than the Senate. On line 140, the Aquifer Monitoring and Drinking Water Protection, the House is $650,000 more than the Senate has. In line 141, the Nonpoint Source Restoration and Protection, the House is $100,000 less than the Senate. In total, the House appropriates $17,542,000 and the Senate appropriates $17,100,000 to the Department of Natural Resources. On page 4 is the start of the Board of Water and Soil Resources. On line 151, we have one watershed, one plan implementation grants. The House has $700,000 more than the Senate has. On line 152, the Surface and Drinking Water Grants Protection and Restoration, the House has $618,000 more than the Senate. On line 153, the Accelerated Implementation, the House has $400,000 less than the Senate. On line 155, the Riparian Protection and Soil Loss Assistance, the House has $1.8 million more than the Senate. On line 156, sorry, my ruler doesn't fit up the top of the binder. On line 156, the water riparian buffer easements, the House has $2.25 million more than the Senate. On line 57 targeted wellhead protection easements. The House did not include this appropriation, and the Senate has $3.5 million for this purpose. On line 160, the watershed management transition, the House has $210,000 less than the Senate. On line 162, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, the CREP, the House did not include the appropriation, and the Senate included $3 million for this purpose. In total, the House is on line 167, the Soil and Water Conservation District Administration grants, the House and Senate both included this appropriation of $11 million per year, and a number of the other adjustments you'll see in the bill were made to incorporate this appropriation. In total, the House is appropriating $93,758,000 to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and the Senate is appropriating $95,500,000. On line 172, you'll see the Department of Health. On line 174, the Source Water Protection and Preservation, the House is appropriating $1,772,000 more than the Senate. On line 175, the Cost Share Assistance, the Well Sealing Grants, the House is appropriating $275,000 more than the Senate. On line 176, Groundwater Strategies for Local Implementation, the House is appropriating $150,000 more than the Senate. On line 177, the Private Well Water Supply Protection, the House is appropriating $150,000 more than the Senate. On line 179, the Drinking Water Protection, the House included $300,000 and the Senate did not include this appropriation. In total, the House is appropriating $9,972,000 to the Department of Health. The Senate is appropriating $7,325,000. On line 183 is the Metropolitan Council. On line 184, the Metropolitan Area Water Supply Sustainability Support. The House is $50,000 less than the Senate. On line 186, you'll see there's an appropriation for inflow and infiltration grants of $500,000 in the first year. The Senate does not include this appropriation. In total, the House appropriates $2.9 million to the Met Council, and the Senate appropriates $2,450,000. On line 190, the University of Minnesota, the House appropriates $250,000 for the County Geologic Atlas Survey. Line 192, the Stormwater BMP Evaluation and Technology Transfer, the House appropriates $1.5 million. And on line 193, the Clean Water Return on Investment, the House appropriates $265,000. The Senate did not include any appropriations to the University of Minnesota. On line 196 is the Department of Revenue. On line 197, the Riparian Protection Aid, the House included $2 million per year, or $4 million in total for this purpose. The Senate did not have a similar appropriation. On the page 5, on line 200 is the LCC, and on line 201, you'll see both the House and Senate included $15,000 for the public information website. In total, the House appropriates $212,368,000 from the Clean Water Fund over the biennium, and the Senate appropriates $211,613,000 over the biennium. The House has a 4.5% reserve, and the Senate has a 5% reserve. On line 228 is Article 3, the Parks and Trails Fund. The House and Senate are nearly identical in the appropriations, using the 40-40-20 split for the State Parks and Trails, Metropolitan Council Parks and Trails, and then the Regional Parks and Trails for Greater Minnesota, using the 40-40-20 split, except the Senate has $1,000 more to the Regional Parks and Trails outside the seven-county metro area in the first year. And that is it for your Articles 1 through 3, unless Mr. Mueller has any comments to make on those. Once I flip to page 6, we both kept a 5% reserve for the Parks and Trails Fund. And that is it for my area. I think Mr. Walls can take over for Article 4.
Mr. Chair and members, beginning on line 270, the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For the Board of the Arts, the House and Senate are within $14,000 of each other. However, there are some significant differences. On line 273, Arts and Arts Access Initiatives, the Senate spends $1.947 million more than the House for the biennium. On line 274, Arts Education Collaborations, the House spends $9 million. The Senate spends $8.725. The two bills are within $33,000 of each other for the Arts and Cultural Heritage portion. The House spends $3 million. The Senate, $2.967. Then there are several additional projects on the House side that aren't included on the Senate. The Arts Maps software for $50,000 on line 276, followed by China Garden at $500,000, the Dan Patch statues for $750,000, and the Fonka Arts Grants on line 279. The House has $125,000 a year for this provision. The Senate also has $150,000 a year for this provision, but it is on a different line. It was appropriated in the Senate through the Humanities, or the Center for Humanities. On line 280, Hmong Folk Art, the House has $75,000. The House has $75,000. The Senate has no similar provision. Moving down to line 283, the Minnesota Historical Society. Statewide historic and cultural grants, the House has $10 million, and among that there is $300,000 set aside for the Fairmont Opera House. The Senate has $12,328,000 for those grants. Statewide history programs, on line 286, the House has $10,642,000, the Senate $11,930,000. History partnerships on line 287. The House has $4 million. The Senate has $4.2 million. Statewide survey of historical and archaeological sites on line 288. The House has $1 million for the biennium. The Senate $600,000. For the digital library, the House has $750,000. The Senate $600,000. Mr. Chair, there are a few. A couple set-asides on the House side, not in the Senate bill. The historic Andrew Farm in Waconia at $250,000 in the House bill. The Woodbury Miller Barn at $250,000. And the House has $100,000 for the Fort Snelling Chapel stained glass. The Senate, $90,000. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 297, the Department of Education Regional Public Library Grants. The House has $5.25 million, the Senate $4.4 million. Moving to the next page under the Department of Administration, both have $278,000 for the Veterans Big Marine, the Veterans Rest Camp at Big Marine Lake. For public radio, the House has $3.3 million. The Senate has $3.2 million. For AMPERS, the House has, both sides are at $3.2 million for the biennium. Under Minnesota Public Television, the House has $8 million. The Senate has $8,050,000. Each have a set-aside for the Vietnam Remembers Project for $650,000. Wilderness Inquiry is $600,000 on the House side, $500,000 on the Senate. Como Park Zoo at $2.9 million for the House, $2.2 million for the Senate. Both have $1.2 million for the Science Museum of Minnesota. The House has $300,000 for Lake Superior Center. The Senate does not have money for that project. The Green Giant Museum is in for $300,000 on the House side and $375,000 on the Senate. The Lake Superior Zoo, $150,000 on both sides. Minnesota State Band, the House provides $50,000. The Senate does not provide money for that provision. The Senate has a provision for $200,000 for Veterans Memorial Grants on line 215. The House has individual Veterans Memorial Grants, $30,000 for Rice County, and $50,000 for Waseca. On line 318, the House has $225,000 for the Minnesota Square Park Pavilion in St. Peter. There's a $1,000 difference for state archaeologist non-Indian remains analysis, 107 on the House, 108 on the Senate. The Senate has a provision of $250,000 for the Medal of Honor Memorial and $222,000 for Camp Legionville. Neither of those provisions appear on the House side. On line 322, Council on Disabilities, the Senate has $55,000 for this provision. The House has an equal amount, but it is on line 333 down below. Mr. Chair, moving on to the Minnesota Zoo, the House has $3,625,000. The Senate provides $3.5 million. Under the Humanities Center, the House provides $2.25 million for program development, the Senate $2 million. Of that amount, the House sets aside Why Treaties Matter for $250,000, which the Senate funds but in a different portion of the bill. And as I mentioned before, on line 333 is the House dollars matching the Senate's for the Governor's Council on Disabilities digital archives. Mr. Chair, on line 334, Veterans Voices, the Senate carves out $100,000 of their million for program development for Veterans Voices. On line 335, the House has a Community Identity and Heritage Grants at $350,000. Among those dollars are $150,000 set aside for City of St. Paul TACRA courts. The Senate does not have a similar provision. Both bodies provided $1 million to the Minnesota Children's Museum, $300,000 to Duluth Children's Museum, $300,000 to Grand Rapids Children's Museum, $300,000 to Southern Minnesota Children's Museum, and the House sets aside an additional $80,000 for the Wheel and Cog Children's Museum in Hutchinson. The Senate does not have a similar provision. Both bodies fund civic education competitive grants at $400,000 on line 342. On line 343, the Somali Museum of Minnesota is $200,000 in the House bill and $300,000 in the Senate bill. On line 344, the House sets aside $100,000 for the Rondo Commemorative Plaza, no provision in the Senate. On line 345, the Senate has an additional provision of $45,000 a year for the Minnesota Council on Disabilities. Mr. Chair, I'm not familiar with the specifics on that provision. And on line 346, the Somali-based Community Grants FONCA program, this is the Senate's $150,000 a year for this program. The House, as I mentioned before, has $125,000 a year under the Center for the Arts. Neither side has any provision for the Perpich Center for the Arts, which moves us to the top of page 8, the Indian Affairs Council. For language preservation and education grants, the House has $1.8 million. The Senate has $1.25 million. Under the, I believe it's Nagane Ojibwe Immersion School on line 356, the House has $250,000. The Senate has $550,000. And for Wikawi Nandagakenden Urban Immersion Project, $500,000 on the House side, and I believe the Senate sets aside $275,000 in their immersion school project on the above line for that project. And perhaps Mr. Mueller could clarify that and talk about the remaining programs and the fund balances for the arts arts and cultural heritage fund.
Mr. Chairman and Madam Chair, we both have the 5%. We both expend the same amount of money within $1,000, the overall, on the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're both covering the negative fund balance that's carried forward to the fund, but keeping a 5% fund balance. So if you actually look compared to the current biennium, fiscal year 16-17, that we'll be appropriating a little bit less. Currently we're appropriating $124.8 million, so this bill would come in at about $123.4 roughly. So it'll be a little bit of less money being appropriated this year, or next biennium than the current biennium. In the county fair. On line 265, the House is doing the county fair grants at $500,000 per year. The Senate does not have that. There's also money in the ag bill for county fairs. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission, the website, their portion of that, the House is at $9,000, the Senate's at $7,000. Then you can see the totals there on line 373 through 382 by agency from the Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Again, total appropriations were $1,000 apart.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, so line 381. 381 would be the only discrepancy then when it comes to the arts, the Department of Ag. Is that I'm reading it?
Senator Engelbretson, that's the only agency that the Senate is not funding anything to the Department of Ag. The House is funding $1 million. There's a number of other just differences between the House and the Senate within other agencies, but the Senate is not funding the grants to the Department of Ag. They have been funded in the past out of the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, the current biennium, and then they haven't been funded there, and then the Senate is not proposing anything out of that.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Any more questions about the budget? Seeing none, we'll work on a side by side. Tab one. Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, we're going to be working on the revisor's side-by-side documents, and we're going to start with Article 1, which is the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And the language is largely the same throughout at least Articles 1 through 3, so what I'm going to do is just point out the major differences in language. And the first one would be on R7. If you look at lines 7.30 and 7.31 on the Senate side, you'll see that they require an annual public hunting and fishing plan for the Carnelian Creek Conservation Corridor easement project. That language was removed on the House side. The next section is would be on R16. There's another language difference. It's on the bottom. If you look on the Senate side, there's language on 16.29 through 16.31. This pertains to the CPL program. This language was removed on the House side in the Environment Committee. And then the next differences are on page R19. The Senate, if you see on 19.14, has still a reference to indirect costs. This was removed on the House side in response to some OLA recommendations. And then the next change would be R21. There's a Senate-only Section 3.
Mr. Chair, members, the Senate has a couple of provisions here. And what they do is they're trying to tie in the three constitutional provisions, the legacy, preservation of the outdoor heritage amendment from 1998, and then also the special laws provision. And it basically says that you really can't violate any of those provisions when you're appropriating money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, because it's really meant for preserving that heritage and also not giving any individual or organization any special rights to those properties. So it ties that together. You can see that in Section 3 where the Outdoor Heritage Fund is specified. And there's a House provision, but these are tied together. I'll just mention Section 4 on the Senate side now while we're doing this, which is a similar thing. But what it also says in Section 4 is that if these lands are hampered in any way that don't fit within those constitutional provisions, that the land would come back to the state at that point in time. You can see especially on 2.21, the right of the people for the benefit of all Minnesotans on land acquired in fee to take fish and game during the open season as provided by law is impaired, restricted, quality diminished by lack of access or grant or special or exclusive privilege or franchise or otherwise. And so you can see that was an initiative of Senator Ingebrigtsen's, who was carrying the Lessard-Sands Outdoor Heritage Council bill. And then the House had a Section 3.
Mr. Chair, back to R22, then the language is actually on R23 on the bottom. This provision would require the council to prioritize restoration and enhancement projects over acquisition projects. And then if we move forward to R25, Section 4 on the House side and Section 5 on the Senate side are identical. Section 5 is a House-only provision, and this would require forest lands that were purchased with outdoor heritage funds to be open to all recreational trail users within certain parameters. And then on the bottom of R25 and moving on to R26, and you'll see this in all of the funds, there'll be a statutory 5% reserve requirement. There's some technical differences between the House and Senate versions, but the outcome is the same. Then there's Section 7 on the House side. This would require entities receiving outdoor heritage funds to disclose whether they've received funds in the past and whether this is a substitution or supplanting of those funds, of non-legacy funds for that activity. There's a similar provision that was passed last year for two of the other funds. Section 8 is another House-only provision. This is also found on the House side. For all the funds, this would prohibit overhead costs from being covered by legacy funds, this one for the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And then Section 9 is another House-only provision. This would allow a county to file a no net gain of state lands policy and then file that with the DNR. And if they do so and the DNR were to purchase land with money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the DNR would then need to sell an equivalent amount of land in that county. And it would allow the DNR to sell that land below appraised value, but no less than 75%. And then on R27, there's another House-only provision, Section 10. This was a provision that was inadvertently left out of the bill. If you go to R30, is where the change is. It's removing a match requirement for design of or feasibility studies for basically carp barriers that may be on border waters. And then the next several sections are identical, and these were all increasing the amount that could go into an easement stewardship account. And I believe that all those are the same. And then the repealer, again, on R45 is also identical. So. And that concludes the Outdoor Heritage Fund. If there are questions, otherwise I can move on to the Clean Water Fund. All right, Mr. Chair, then I'll move on to Article 2, and this is the Clean Water Fund. And again, I'll just point out the language differences. First, on R1, you'll see on House side 44.6 through 44.9, the House has some additional language because they did exceed the 5% reserve requirement, so they're not just notwithstanding the new provision. And then the next difference would be go to R14. This pertains to the $11 million per year for the SWCD grants. You see on the House side, it's narrowly for the purposes of the new of implementation of the new buffer requirements. Whereas on the Senate side, it's more general purposes, and then there would be base funding of $100,000 per year, and then the remaining would go for grants.
And Mr. Chair and members, just to explain to the Senate rider is the same rider for this program in 2015. We just used the same rider from 2015, the way the money was appropriated then, and the House chose a different path.
And then, Mr. Chair, I'll move to R19. There's a House-only section. And this is similar to what was for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, requiring organizations receiving clean water funds to notify the Clean Water Council and the legislature of previous funding that's non-legacy that may be supplanting or substituting. And then Sections 14 and Section 11 on the Senate side, again, this is the reserve requirement, but the differences are just technical. Section 15 is the overhead costs that you saw earlier, and this would pertain to the Clean Water Fund. And then Section 16 on R20 and R21, this is how the riparian aid that you saw on our spreadsheet, this is how that would be distributed out. And it's similar to the language that was proposed by the governor, but in the tax bill. And then that would conclude the Clean Water Fund. Article. And then, Mr. Chair, we'll go to Article 3, the Trails Fund. And I'll point out the difference on R3. There's some language if you look at lines 66.6 and 6.7 on the House side compared to the Senate's 56.30 through about 56.33. The Senate has some updated language on where the recommendations are made. So, it looks a little bit different, but I think for the most part it's fairly technical difference. And then on page R5 for the Metropolitan Council, on the House side, you'll see that they would require the regional parks money to be used towards finishing a list that was put together by the implementing agencies in response to some laws passed in 2013, whereas the Senate is not making that requirement. It's just projects that are approved by the implementing agencies. And then on R6, you'll see the reserve requirement again. Again, the differences there are just technical. Section 7 on the House side is that overhead cost prohibition, and this would pertain to the Parks and Trails Fund. And then Sections 8, 9, 10 are identical other than a minor technical difference. And then, Mr. Chair, that would conclude the Parks and Trails Fund differences.
Chair and members, I'm going to start with Article 4, the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund article. That, similar to the other ones, I'm just going to note differences in the language and the policy language in the riders. The first one I'll point out is on page 2. This is in the general appropriation language. There are just a couple of small differences between the House and the Senate language. At 71.9 to 71.12 on the House side, and the Senate has slightly different language at 61.26 and 61.27, and then again down at 62.4 and 62 line 7. The next change I'll note is on page R3. The House has a number of grants included in the State Arts Board funding, so there's additional riders there that go along with that grant funding. For the next change is in the Minnesota Historical Society funding on page R8. And again, this is just additional riders for grant funding on the House side. The next change in the that I would note between the two riders is on page R10 with the veterans rest camps. There's just some small differences in how the riders are written in there. And the next change that would be that continue on in these next few pages are funding differences between the House and the Senate side, and so those are noted on the spreadsheet. When you get to page R15 in the Minnesota Humanities Center, again, most of these changes are going to be noted on the spreadsheet, but there is a small difference in the riders. The Minnesota Humanities Center House language has a small carve-out for why treaties matter. The Senate does fund this, but it funds it under the Indian Affairs Council. And then I'll let Mr. Stanley explain. I believe there's a carve-out on the Senate side for the Humanities Center there on R15.
Mr. Chairman, dealing with the Why Treaties Matter exhibit, is that what you're interested in discussing, the differences between?
That and the Veterans Voices.
Okay. So you'll see the total amount here is $1 million for programs and purposes, and in the Senate on page 74, lines 13 through 18, provides $125,000 for the Why Treaties Matter exhibit. That is a separate item, whereas the House just said that the same amount could be used from their $1.125 million for the same purpose. And then the Senate on Senate side, page 71, line 24, said that $100,000 could be used for the Veterans Voices program, which is something that has been done in previous legacy bills.
Okay. Chair and members, the next change I would note is on page R16 in the House language. There is a Community Identity and Heritage Grant Program. It provides some language for a competitive grants program that's operated through the Minnesota Humanities Center. With a number of different opportunities for grant funding related to arts and culture. That language is House-only language. And below that, there's some differences in the House language on the funding for the Children's Museum, but other than that, they're very similar. But the House does fund the Wheel and Cog Museum, which is not included in the Senate side. And the other big difference related to the riders is on page R18. For the Indian Affairs Council, I'll refer to Mr. Stanley to explain the Senate language on that.
Mr. Chairman, if
If I may, I'm going to first talk about on page R18, Mr. Waltz had talked about how there was an additional Council on Disability language that was not on the House side. That language is on Senate side, page 72, lines 12 through 18. And what it does is provide funds to produce and broadcast programs to preserve Minnesota's disability history and to conduct celebrations of the ADA. And this is language that was also in the 2015 bill. So I just wanted to clear that up while we're here. You will see on the same page, Senate side, page 73, lines 16 through 20, is there some sort of prefatory language that had been in earlier legacy bills, but in the most recent bill was dropped, and so that can probably come out. That's in the nature of a technical change. And then moving on, you will see that there are both House and Senate grants to preserve Dakota and Ojibwe language, but the Senate has some additional funds on page R19, Senate side, page 73, line 32 through page 74, line 4, I guess 74, line 3. This is language that was included in the 2013 legacy bill, so it's an additional appropriation in addition to the appropriations you see immediately above it. Moving on to the same page, R19, Senate side, you'll see starting on page 74, line 4, graves protection language. This, again, has been in the 2015 legacy bill, and it provides money to the Indian Affairs Council to carry out various responsibilities they have under federal and state law related to Indian human remains that are found. And with the development of a osteology laboratory. And then on R20, you have the House-only language dealing with agriculture. I'll let Ms. Shuping.
Okay. Chair and members, the next page, R21, has the has a House only provision, which is section 3 of Article 4, and that is a change to the Minnesota State Arts Board allocation. The 47% would be taken from the total appropriation from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund in a fiscal biennium, which would help create a little bit of ability to shift between the 2 years in a biennium. Section 4 on the House side with the reserve requirement and Section 3 on the Senate side are the similar provisions for the 5% reserve. Section 5 is a House-only provision, again, still on R21. This is the overhead costs that's similar to what Ms. Taylor described for the other three funds previously related to overhead costs being directly related to and necessary for legacy programming. Section 6 is, again, a House-only provision. This is a provision that requires an entity receiving $1 million or more for arts and cultural heritage programming to measure and report on how the funds are being used to reduce disparities. The reports are due back to the legislature by December 15, 2018. And on the last page, you can see Article 5, which has one section, and that's also, again, House only. And this adds a provision to Chapter 16A, which limits the ability of the Commissioner of Management and Budget to assess statewide agency indirect costs from the four legacy funds.
Any questions about side by side? What else is on our agenda now? That's it, huh? We have some work to do before Monday. And you have the gavel on Monday. Do you have any idea when we're going to meet?
Well, we have so many conference committees going on right now.
That's
so
it.
We're going to look at Monday or Tuesday. It might even have to push to Tuesday with all the conference committees moving. We'd rather have it Monday, but we have to go. We have to look. We have several chairs of other committees, too.
So do we.
Yeah.
So there, again, I have a little bit of a conflict on Tuesday afternoon. And then I have 400 pork chops.
Cooked. Awesome.
So,
you deliver?
No. I should have known you'd ask that. So, I would prefer it Monday or Wednesday.
Okay.
Because,
we will look at everyone's schedule
or
and what they get done today, and we'll post it as soon as possible.
Yeah. As long as I can be ready to not cook pork chops, but make sure they're cooked. Everyone's invited, by the way. Yes.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, I'm just thinking here. We're kind of looking at Monday morning for the committee that Representative Fabian and I haven't even talked about it yet, but Monday morning and try and be done with that by roughly noon. At least that's kind of a target shot, so just so you know that.
And we're on the floor also at 11 on Monday.
Are we? Is it 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we could meet after your meeting is over, that would be wonderful, as long as I can get going and pop.
No, he's talking about
money. Anything. Hmm? Yeah, we got to talk about purpose of transportation.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're on the floor with about a dozen bills on Monday afternoon. So, but we'll everybody will coordinate schedules, and we'll try to get a notice out as ASAP.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, I was just wondering, I noticed that, you know, we went through and there's some differences. Some are small and some are a little bigger. And you've been really great in committee, and I'm sure in Senate has been the same. I was just wondering if we're going to have some opportunity to hear from stakeholders or how you want to play this out. And I'm not chair, so
no,
it's...
I think the plan is to have testimony on those things that are a House-only or a Senate-only provision and not the same. And so we would...
Thank
you. Would certainly entertain testimony for those folks.
And I certainly don't want to miss the pork chops. That's
But I think there will be probably time for the departments to testify for their parts of the bill, too.
Correct.
And with that, I can see no reason why we don't adjourn.
You have a gavel.
I got a gavel. Yeah. That we're adjourned. Thank you.